This is episode 16 of the H2H Sales Automation Podcast on Automate to Scale, Personalize to Win.
Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our show. My name is Bart, and I invite guests for 20 minutes interview to inspire you and improve your business the human way. Today, I'd like to welcome Glenn Pauls, award-winning author of Never Sit in the Lobby, podcast host, business coach, public speaker, listen up, helping people sell and business grow 10 times. Welcome to the show, Glenn.
Thank you, Bart. Grab, really happy to be here.
So today's topic is automate to scale, personalize to win. And let me start out of this. I was a little bit studying your profile, your journey. We are on a kind of journey in our business, our lives. Your sales journey started in 1985, technical sales rep.
Yeah.
And what has changed with his sales since then?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of my funny rules from the book is never fax the facts and never ship the shit, right? And so everyone's like, what's a fax, right? You know, and nobody, you know, like, when was the last time you walked up to a fax machine and sent a document that way? But man, from 85 to 87, when I started, we didn't have a fax machine. And then a year or so in, year or two in, we got a fax and it changed my life. And not so much for the better, right? And of course, then everything just evolved after that. You know, we typed up the quotes on typewriters and three-part forms. We mailed the quotes. Yeah, that's where I came up with the rule, never fax the facts or never ship the shit, meaning don't mail the quote to the customer. Customer wants a quote, drive it out, drop it off, you know, visit the customer, right? But everything's compressed in terms of time, right? Like first they got a fax machine and then they're like, okay, I'll have it tomorrow. And, you know, then they get emails like, oh, can I have the quote in 10 minutes, right? And whereas before when we were typing them up, it was like when a guy asked for a quote, he'd get it a week later, right? And so it was, you know, a lot's changed, mainly the communication methods and, you know, some of the automated tools and stuff that we can use. But what's never changed is that the most successful people in my company and companies that I talk to and stuff like that, the people that are successful are the ones that can still get in front of act and stay in front of the customer and be a pleasure to do business with. That's really the key. Yes, some of the stuff is done virtually. Some SaaS products and things are maybe sold fairly virtually and there's not a lot of visiting going on. But most of what I sell in my day job is hardware related. It's, you know, fixed assets and things that people buy. And it's very important we get in front of the customer with our stuff. And so although the ways and means of getting there has changed in 30, almost 40 years now, you know, getting there has not changed as being the number one objective for me. And biggest argument I have with most people, because a lot of people are like, no, I can do it all from my basement. You know, I don't need to leave the house. I can just, you know, I do it all on Zoom. And I'm like, okay, you can actually, but I got guys that are outselling you by a factor of 10 because they go visit customers, right? And so it's just a personal, you know, one of my personal sort of edicts that I like to try to stay in front of customers wherever possible. And if you can't stay in front of them, you got to be at least talking to them on Zoom, right? It's not, you can't do it from email and LinkedIn, right? Those are marketing, you know, the things. I'm talking about selling. I, you know, although I'm responsible for marketing, I always tell people don't confuse marketing with selling, right? And, you know, marketing is generating leads and opportunities. Selling is when you're in front of the customer, either virtually or directly, and trying to close the order. That's selling, right? Everything else is marketing.
100%. I like it, like the story, like you picture myself, like yourself in a, you know, 1985, you know, all with fax machines, you know, new fax machines arrived, new computer typing, you use this word like typing machines, which is really interesting. Even my old days, I'm in my 40s, I do remember that typing machine in my school.
Yeah.
What is interesting is from the concept of obviously automation, now we're kind of moving into the automation parts in the new systems and so on. It is great to realize that, you know, that new innovation came, obviously, for you at, in 1985, that fax machine was something new. That was something, wow.
Yeah.
So now we were getting more CRMs, more Zooms, more. This is just the system. That's a new, nice thing to have. However, yep. That skill set to be in front of the people, to get them, attract them, to have a call on a conversation, is still there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when we got our first CRM too. And as a matter of fact, I got my first CRM was custom program written in Fox Pro that one of our sales guys wrote. And I loved it so much that I wanted to try one myself. And I also, in a different program, I wrote my own CRM. And then we converted to a thing called BCIM. And that was in the late 80s. And that's when, and a lot of those names that went into that software, you know, back in the 80s, not to say a lot of them are probably retired except for me, but, you know, those names have been updated to ACT and then all, and now we use HubSpot, CRM and HubSpot marketing in my present company. And so over the years, the CRM has really, really evolved in terms of, you know, how we use it and what we do and the integration. Right. And
so exactly. So now getting into the topics of automation. So my take is this: cost of living crisis, pandemics, everything, like, you know, last 4 or 5 years, massive influence on what we're doing now. And probably that's, I strongly believe we're at the very beginning of something that is changing in terms of how we work, obviously. Remote work, yes, sure, yes. AI, yes, sure. But we as a society are changing now.
Yeah.
So now what basically means is, like, and you did that mention that, you know, fax, it was quicker to deliver these quotes. Now, obviously, now everyone wants to get the instant information, instant quote, instant sales rep available. Now, everything is more expensive. So, yeah, we've got less resources, but we need to do more quicker. Okay, so quite a lot of businesses are realizing, okay, right, this is so fast-paced environment. So should I automate some operations? Should I automate the sales? Like, what is your experience of, and what part of sales process we can automate, such as, you know, maybe prospecting, maybe something in the line of generating and analyzing data, so to be in front of the ready-made prospects, for example. What's your take on this?
So, yeah, I do believe in automating as anything that makes sense. Where some of it breaks down for me, though, is in the aspect of you can't automate selling, right? And and so that's the, like, because that's where I'm always focusing on with people. That's what people talk to me about, is the selling part. Like, I know this is an automation podcast, and I can, trust me, I can speak to it, because I use the state of the art tools 100 times a day. Like, I mean, I'm on the cutting edge of everything up and to and including AI. And we use AI in everything that we do. And, for me, it's more about, yeah, like, if somebody, you know, somebody clicks on something on your website, and, you know, you can send them a data sheet automatically, and you can even track their opens and closes on those data sheets and provide leads and things to people. But there's a finite point in time, and it's happened to all of us, right? Where, you know, and a lot of times it happens on social media, where it's like, oh, I'm interested in what they're showing me. And then all of a sudden it drops you into this, like, huge funnel that you've got to go through in order to get what you want. Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't find that to be, rewarding as a consumer, right? Like I see a jacket and I want to, like, know, is it a $100 jacket or a $400 jacket? And I click on it. It's like, oh, well, let's start by giving us your email. Right. And then it's like, you know, are you short and fat, or are you tall and skinny, you know? And, like, and it starts building up this whole data set on me. Right. Yeah. And it's because it's building up a data thing to barrage me with stuff later. And they don't want to help me. They just want to mine my data. And that's why I find, like, for our stuff, like, a lot of our customers are like, I sell high tech products to technical people, and these people want answers, and they don't want, in a lot of cases, they do want to talk to a person. So you have to figure out what to automate and what to keep personalized, and to allow people to get to a person when they want to, and automate everything else, right? So if the guy wants a data sheet and other things that you can provide to him automatically, they should be able to go bing, 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 get it all automatically, then have it, those names go into the funnel so that you can follow up with them. But you can't do it at the expense of contacting the guy and trying to be a salesperson, right? And, yeah.
100%. I love your part. Automate anything that makes sense. Like, yeah. This is so. You put this in a very simple word, but when you took a classic example of someone who is hunger for sales and they just want to spam everyone around, this is not the place. It's not the place. No. It's not the place. It's that kind of thing should take place during the events, conversation, building the rapport with people. Yeah. But anything beyond anyone who will bring you that ready-made conversation, someone who maybe just downloaded something, that makes sense. I really like also your take on, yes, this jacket for $400. Because I think some, it's a little bit of kind of mixing of marketing, but a little bit we have more conscious clients now. We have a people who know that if you add them to the some kind of email or WhatsApp, they will get a number of messages. So it's more about to recognizing where are they in buyer journey, giving them enough information, kind of desire. I always use the dating example. It's just you're not kind of presenting offers straight on. You're just building, like, just and maybe you ask your friends for their, you know, introduction during this party, you know?
Exactly. So
that kind of work, and that is a skill, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
What about your LinkedIn? So LinkedIn, I got many of inquiries such as, yes, I'll help you with this. It's completely probably 1% are relevant, especially we become a top HubSpot partners. We've got like quite a lot of inquiries. I probably have, I don't know, tons of every day. You know, it's, I don't know. It's how to use, how do you use LinkedIn? Do you personalize? Do you, you've got plenty of followers. Is LinkedIn working for you in terms of the sales and automation?
So, okay. So, I live like multiple lives, right? So, I mean, although I do a lot of things promoting my book and I work with some people, not a lot because I have a very, very busy day job. If you check my LinkedIn, you're going to see I have a day job, right? And, I run sales and marketing for a several $100 million company. And, you know, we have a lot of people and, I have a lot of responsibility. So I have a big job every day and a lot of my, you know, aspirational, you know, sales and marketing coaching and my book and all that. That's my side gig, right? Yep. And so I use LinkedIn for both, but I use them differently, right? Mm-hmm. So for so I do a lot of posting. I post every second day, I'm a top voice on LinkedIn. I worked very hard to get to that status. It's, you know, and some people are like, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal actually to get the top voice. I mean, you know, it's like guys like Tony Robbins and people like that have the top voice badge. And so, cause I share a lot, right? And I do that to drive demand on the conversation around selling and sales coaching and how to, you know, and honestly, you know, I love to sell some books, but I mean, it's not about selling the books. I mean, I like it when people buy the book, but I mean, I don't, you know, it's not going to change my life financially in case people are wondering, but it's fun to write one and it's fun to publish one. Right. So, I recommend if you have a book in you to do it, but for my work, for my day job, I use LinkedIn completely differently. I use sort of like Sales Navigator. I use it to try to find a name. I get the name, then I figure out, how do I contact this person? And I try to contact them in a multitude of ways. I might say, hey, if it's appropriate to connect with them, I will. If it's not, I won't. You know, if it's appropriate to message them, I will. If it's not, I won't. And a lot of times, you know, I will try to find someone's phone number and I will then say, hey, you know, I was calling you and I have in my book, I talk about my 20 to 30 second message if they don't answer the phone, or I'm saying, hey, you know, this is just a quick cold call. You know, you can hang up, or I'd like, you know, can I get 15 seconds? And the guy's like, okay, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to talk to you about our new, you know, Acme, you know, facilitator that's saving all, you know, a lot of your competitors time and money on their such and such. And the guy's like, you know, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, let's get 10 minutes, 20 minutes on your calendar later. Or if it goes to voicemail, I say something similar. Like, I'm calling and I don't start with the hellos and how are you and hope you had a great weekend. I don't say any of that stuff. Right. And the main reason why is because I don't care. And the second reason why is he doesn't care if I care or care how I am. And, and the 15 seconds I need, I don't want to waste it asking him how he is. Right. And so I do all that, but then I phone them. Then I say, you know what? I'm going to leave you a voice. I'm going to send you an email as well. So I phone them, I leave a message, I send them an email, then I'll contact them on LinkedIn. And then I'll come around again in a week. Maybe I'll phone him back. By now, he's seen me 4 or 5 times. That Glenn Poulos, Glenn Poulos, Glenn Poulos. And it creates a mental sort of sticking point in his brain, right? And if my message, my 15 to 30 second message was compelling, he will pick up the phone or he won't. And sometimes it's just a dud and I have to move on, right? But in that 4 to 7 times of contact through LinkedIn and automation and phone calls, you know, I try to make, you know, I try to make contact. And then when I make contact, and then I try to make the appointment, whether it has to be virtual or on site, whatever's appropriate, that's what I do. And where a lot of people fail is they try to do it all without the phone call.
Yep. This is based.
You know why? Because they're just scared, right? Yep. They're just scaredy cats. And I'm like, that's for marketing. Then you should go work in marketing because salespeople need to get on the phone. If you're scared to pick up the phone, then you shouldn't be in sales, right? You can't do it virtually. It's not going to happen. You have to be face to face with a customer in some way. And And so I use all the automations to give me more kicks at the can, right? I don't want to keep phoning the guy, drunk dialing the guy every hour, like, you know, pick up, pick up, pick up, right? But I can use LinkedIn. I can use email marketing. I can use, you know, the brochure. I can see his interactions with the brochure that I've down given him automated response. You know, he clicked on something, I give him the brochure right away. I don't hold back, yeah. Right? But I can tell in HubSpot that he's opened it, right? Yeah. And he went to page 14 and he was there for 32 seconds. So I know on page 14 is our, you know, acne exasperator. And so
yeah.
I will condition everything I say around the exasperators, you know, and not the Acme commentator product on page 19, right? Because he didn't spend any time on that page, right? And so that's how automation and AI and other these other tools that are getting implemented, I use them on a daily basis, right?
Thanks for sharing that. I think what I really like about you is you give so much tips. Like probably we're gonna run some kind of summary of everything because it's quite a lot for many people, especially yeah. The ones who are coming to the sales role and they
yeah. Sorry if I'm talking too fast.
What are they talking to? But I went through this. But you're right that the system should be there. What actually is fun fact is I've been doing quite a lot of networking for the last 10 years, and what I found is like touch points. We're talking about the touch points, and it's some kind of scientific thing around that. There's 8 to 10 touch points we need to make to actually, you know, to actually be recognized by them.
Yeah,
you know, it's some kind of when you talk about, yeah, that's why my name is Glenn. So they will say, oh, this is the guy who is just phoning me. You know, this is something like touch points is not only spamming because that's the thin line, but also yeah. Looking and recognizes they might use different means of connections, not only calls or text messages or WhatsApp or anything else. They might be actually be, you know, around maybe events, you know, I'm laughing sometimes. I'm based in the UK. You're in the US, but I'm sometimes in London. 10 million people is big city, but when you do right things, I bump to the, you know, I see the people who I didn't expect at the events because people are acting the same way. So it's just kind of recognizing, is building that surrounding kind of constant area being there for them, and they just actually go, what is it? What you're doing, mate?
Exactly. Yeah. Good point.
So, book briefly. Just tell us a little bit more why you have decided to do the book, and maybe a little bit more.
I was made up these tips and learned these tips from all my mentors over the last 40 years, right? And I wrote them all down, and I started sharing them with people and making people laugh. And you know, and the way I do, you know, I tell the stories in a way that's memorable to try to make a point, right? And people are like, oh, you know, you should talk about that, and you know, and so you know, I did some speeches and stuff, and then they're like, oh, you should write a book. And of course, it took me 35 years to do it, but when the pandemic hit, I had nothing to do for 2 years in Canada, so I wrote a book. And, you know, I was stuck at home for over a year in Canada. Right. And so I had every weekend free. I on the weekends in the morning, while everyone was sleeping, I got up and I wrote a few thousand words you know, 75,000 words later, I finished the book and then I sent it to an editor, and then the editor said, Glenn, you can't swear that much in a book. And I said, okay, fine. Why don't we agree on 71,000 words and we'll publish the book? And she's like, okay, fine. And yeah. And so I just share my 57 tips, you know, on how to build a career, talk about everything from, you know, how to get in the door, stay in the door with customers, take them out to lunch, you know, how to get act and stay in front of your customers and to be a pleasure to do business with always. Like that's my goal for the book, right? And they're just little tips. You don't have to read the whole book at one sitting. You can start anywhere in the book. You can open it to any page, read a tip, close the book, put it down, pick it up. And it's just a handy little reference and great little stories. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, that happened and you did that. And, you know, all sorts of things, right?
Never sit in the lobby, ladies and gentlemen. Just definitely, is it Amazon or where can you get it? Yeah, Amazon.
Everywhere books are sold, you can get it, yeah.
Fantastic. Definitely, we'll link up to this episode later on if you wish to support Glenn. Do you know what, I'm leaning towards kind of wrapping up the conversation.
Because sure.
We talk about quite a lot of things, but final kind of things like how do you sell while still maintaining that human connection? So kind of top 3-5 tips from you, still be human, but sell on a scale.
Yeah. Okay. So you need to like understand your client and don't be over familiarize yourself, right? It has to be genuine. You have to gather, you have to gather points about his business, about his challenges or her challenges, right? Learn about the company. How does the company make money? If you can learn how they make money, you can relate to what your company offers them, and then you could sell relative to make them more money, not you, your commission check, right? You know, you want to customize all your communications with your customers so that it's appropriate and directed at them. It's not, you have to try to get the canned email out as much as possible. Send less of them. Send them to targets that you know are real, not trying to attend 10,000 people like you're fishing with a net, right? I'm appealing to like high value salespeople, right, that are selling high value items. You want to build genuine relationships. I spend a lot of time talking about rapport. I won't go into it now, but about building genuine rapport with people. And don't invite a guy to dinner on the first sales call, right? Like it's not appropriate, right? You have to be flexible and adaptable to, a different customer style. I often tell them to leverage their data and technology, like use AI, use their funnel, use the email marketing, automated marketing to generate names and numbers, use the tools that are there like Zoom Info and Sales Intel, tie them into your CRM so you get the better data sets on the customers. Don't forget to phone the guy, right? Try to provide value beyond the sale. One of the best tips I always do is find a customer for your customer, and your customer will intellectually will have to buy something from you to pay you back, right? And send them leads. And if you're stuck getting into a company, you can't get a hold of the guy in engineering, finance, marketing, sales, or wherever you got to be, call the sales manager because he always picks up the phone, right? So call the director of sales and say, hey, I'm another sales guy. Your company's a target. Who should I talk to in engineering? Who should I talk to in finance about our new HRIS product, or whatever? And the guy will laugh or whatever, but he'll give you the name because he knows what it's like to be a sales guy, right? And always be genuine, right? Always be genuine, right? So
I love it. I actually came to the point that I remember one of the conversations I had from one of my team members, and one of the tips they gave me about how to generate the connections and phone numbers, let's say. So during the Christmas time, everyone's on holiday. So when you bash emails, you will get replies with plenty of data.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
So another one is to organize event on Eventbrite with tickets sold.
Yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Those are good list. Ideas. Those are great ideas.
I was like, oh my goodness. But what I really like about find your customer and find the customer for your customer is remind me a kind of BNI mantra about giver's gain. You give them something. Customer is an ideal scenario, but some kind of knowledge. Just genuinely be a human, touch them, and then it will come back to you twice.
Yeah. Exactly.
Glenn, it was a pleasure. We did this 24 minutes on my clock. Thank you very much for our conversation.
You.
And definitely we'll link you up and all that we've discussed under this episode. And everyone else, thank you very much for listening to us.
Thank you so much, Bart.
Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.